All right. The title this morning is The Presence of Unbelief, Part 1. The Presence of Unbelief, Part 1. It's our first Sunday in March, March 3rd, 2013. Can you believe we're already in March? It's crazy. It seems like the year just started off. But God is not slowing down for anything, so we got to do our part. Amen? I want to share with you this morning, I'm going to have a short series on this presence of unbelief, because I really believe that most of us and all of us have faith, and the faith isn't that gets us into trouble, it's our unbelief. Amen? Amen. So many times we don't see our prayers getting answered, and we believe that it's due to a lack of faith. But the truth is this morning that when you got saved and salvation had struck you and your household, every Christian at that point in time received a measure of faith. That's what the Bible calls it, a measure of faith. So the issue is not the lack of faith, but the presence of unbelief. Because we've been a doubting Thomas so long, when we get faith, the first thing we doubt is our faith. And the devil knows that, and he uses these things to hold us back from our faith. See, unbelief cancels out faith and renders our prayer ineffective. This morning I want to share with you a little bit about unbelief and the presence of unbelief and how that affects us in a negative way. And I want us to start to recognize that unbelief sometimes gets in our hearts, and we need to get rid of it because it will stop our faith walk with Jesus. So we're going to discuss the presence of unbelief and how it creeps in our lives, how it affects our faith walk. And I believe this morning will be a time of turnaround and breakthrough for many of us, because sometimes I've doubted my own faith. And I said, Lord, I know I got this great faith in me. What's going on? And he goes, it's not your faith that's the problem. It's your unbelief. And it's funny that faith and unbelief can work at the same time. And we're going to share a little bit about that. So this morning, if you'll just stand up just for a moment, we're going to read the Word of God in Romans 12:3. Romans 12:3. The New King James Version of the Bible says it this way for you. Romans 12:3. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a what? A measure of faith. Romans 12:3 in the New Living Translation says it this way. The New Living Translation. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Heavenly Father, let this word soak deep into our spirit this morning. Let us have a transformation and a revelation of your word. Let us walk out of here different than the way we walked in. And let us accept your word this morning as the standard and the truth for by which we will walk by and live our lives by. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. And amen. You can be seated if you can. In Romans 12:3, he says that God has dealt with each of us a measure of faith. A measure of faith. I think he gave us all a mustard seed faith because it was real small, but that's all we need when we got Jesus. Amen? All believers receive this measure of faith when they receive their salvation. So to say that you don't have any faith would be a lie, because if you've been saved, you've been deposited in you a measure of faith. It doesn't mean you've activated the measure of faith. It doesn't mean you use the measure of faith, but you do have a measure of faith. And I believe that faith increases by more you hear the word. And I believed that until I started studying the word a little bit more. And I'm saying, I think my faith doesn't change. It's my unbelief starts being removed from my life, so the faith level really does increase. Amen? See, I really believe that God gave us a measure of faith, and that was enough to get the job done. Think about that. He didn't say, I gave you two measures of faith, or five measures. He said, I gave you a measure of faith. If you're not getting results in your lives as a Christian, the issue is not with your faith, but with your unbelief. I'm going to share a few scriptures this morning to help us out. And there was this example in the Bible I liked of a demon that was causing a certain boy some seizures. And the boy's father brought him to the disciples, but they couldn't cast the demon out. Yet in the past they had casted many a demons, and they healed the sick, and they opened blind eyes, and they did all this, but in this case they couldn't get this demon out of this boy. Take a look at Matthew 17, 14. It's the New King James Version. And when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. He brought the son to the disciples, but they couldn't cure him. They couldn't fix what was ailing him. Yet in the past, the disciples have showed themselves that they could heal the sick. But in this case, they couldn't. Their faith didn't change, because they still had the same faith they had before. But in this circumstance, they couldn't heal or drive out this demon. So they brought him to Jesus. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. I can see Jesus is saying to me, you're getting upset on me. Boys, I've been with you for a while, and I've been training you and teaching you, and now we got to go all the way back to square one. And Jesus rebuked the demon. Jesus didn't talk to the demon. Jesus didn't play around with the demon. Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out, and the child was cured from that very hour. Didn't take 2 weeks, 6 months, and 3 hours. It was like a suddenly, instantly, now, the kid did not have the demon. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? Boy, they set themselves up to get bruised, I'm telling you. So Jesus said to them, because of what? Your unbelief. He didn't say your lack of faith. Because they had faith, they've already done miracles, but their presence of unbelief. For surely I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, that measure, and you say to this mountain or demon, be cast out of the way, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except through prayer and fasting. Jesus said to them, they couldn't cast out the demon because they had unbelief. The reason why we don't do certain things is that we don't believe that we can do it. God told us, I got faith, Pastor, but unbelief comes in. Doubt sets in. Fear comes in. The cares of the world come in. And then all of a sudden, our faith level seems to have dropped. It's really not. It's your unbelief level has increased. The lack of faith wasn't the issue that the disciples had to cast out the demons in this instance. It was unbelief. The unbelief zapped their faith. They seen a situation in the natural and got in fear and got in unbelief and said, well, in this case, I don't know if God's word's going to really work. How many times have we said that? I mean, I know myself, I used to speak contrary to the Word, and when I was dealing with my pancreas, and I was sick, and I was dying, and I would say those things. I was sick, and I was dying. Guess what I was doing? I was sick, and I was dying. I had faith, but my unbelief was overpowering my faith. I would recite the Scriptures. I walked by faith and not by sight. But I was still focusing on my issue, so I had a sight on it. And my unbelief would cause me not to have what my faith was supposed to have. See, they had unbelief because the situation was so terrible, they were focused on what their senses were telling them. And sometimes our senses get us into trouble because we're looking at something that looks too big for us. And yes, it is, but it's not too big for God. There's no mountain too big for God. There's no vision that's too big for God. There's no dream that you have that's too big for God. But you got to be able to walk in faith and not in unbelief. See, we need to walk by faith and not by sight. Because our sight, when we put our glasses on, it allows us to focus a little better. The problem is we're focusing on something that is in the spiritual realm that God wants to change. Oh, Pastor, I understand now. See, you can have faith and unbelief simultaneously. You can, yeah. You can have great faith but still be in fear about what you're dealing with. Take a look at Mark 11, verse 23. Mark 11, verse 23 in the New King James Version. It says, "For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain," did you know you're a whoever? You're a whoever. "Says to this mountain, be removed and cast in the sea, and does not" what? Doubt, unbelief, in his or her heart, but what? Believes, that's faith, that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he or she says. God says, if you don't doubt, but you believe, you have faith, guess what? That mountain will be moved. That situation will be changed. Those children you've been praying for that have been away from God will be coming back home. Oh, Pastor, you know, they're not going to come home. You know, they're on drugs and they're hanging around the wrong crowd. And well, that's your unbelief. I'm big enough to believe that what His Word says. His Word says that if you, whoever, that's you and I, says to the mountain, be removed. I say, bring those children that are lost and those that have been wayward, Father. I call them. I'm a whoever, Lord God. I call them in. Then guess what? As long as I don't doubt or have unbelief in my heart, and then I believe what His Word says, I will have whatever I say. Uh-oh. I got you around the bubble right now this morning. I want to help push you over. Take a look at Mark 5, verse 35. We got to deal with unbelief because it stammers our faith and it makes the world doubt that God can even really perform like He says He can perform. Mark 5, verse 35, it says, "While He was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's home who said, 'Your daughter is dead.'" That would be a bad report. I don't know about you. I would hate to hear that report. "Why trouble the teacher any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, 'Do not be afraid.'" In other words, don't be in doubt. Don't be in unbelief. Just keep your faith. That measure of faith that I've given you, that mustard seed of faith, hang on to that. That's all you need. And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. Then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue. And he saw a tumult and those who wept and wailed loudly. And when he came in, he said to them, "Why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed him. There were there those that were there that thought the worst. But who knows, when Jesus shows up, something's about to change. There's something about when Jesus shows up that the unbelievers become believers. It's something about when Jesus shows up into your life that things begin to change for a good. It says, "But when he had pulled them all outside, he took the father and mother of the child and those who were with him and entered in where the child was laying." Let me stop for a second. He had to put the rest of the unbelievers out. Sometimes you need to take the unbelievers that are in your life and push them out of your life. They're the ones that are telling you that you can never go to college, that you'll never amount to anything. Your business will never take place. You've been dreaming that, brother, for 20 years, and it still hasn't come to fruition yet. Well, oh, come on. You believe in that Jesus. Get rid of the doubters. Get rid of the haters. Remove those out of your house. Put them to the outside where they can't touch you. And then bring those that are connected to you, those that have faith, those that are believing with you. Then he took the child by the hand and said to her, basically, "Hey, baby, arise. You're alive." See, unbelief is present when the following things are evident. See, what happens is we get into this thing about, oh, I got to get my faith level up. It's not your faith level. You just got to get rid of the unbelief. Because the unbelief comes in a way of fear. We fear the word won't work for us. Pastor, I tried applying that word, but it hadn't worked that one time. Well, is there anything that you didn't do correctly when you applied the word? I don't know about you, but a Band-Aid doesn't get applied to a dirty wound. I remember my mom, when I would cut myself or something, and she would take a cloth and wipe that wound down that was bleeding. Then she would take that Mercurochrome that would burn like crazy and put it on that wound and clean it all up. She didn't let the dirt and the mold and the other stuff that the sandbox we were playing in, and then just put the Band-Aid because it wasn't going to adhere to it. She had to clean some things up. See, when you're in fear, the word don't work. You're either in fear or you're in faith, but you can't be in both at the same time. And when you're in fear, you're in unbelief, because now you're saying, well, maybe this word really doesn't work. Worry. We ponder negative thoughts or expectations. We begin to dwell on some stuff. And then we fall into unbelief because people say, well, aren't you worried about that situation? Aren't you worried about that? And aren't you worried about... No, I don't. Worry can't change my circumstance. Only God can. And I have to hold myself responsible for what I do, and we have to make myself accountable for what I do, and I have to make sure that I don't have any unbelief before I start blaming God's faith ain't working. The other thing that we deal with when you're in unbelief, you care. When you're stressed out about something, a situation, we become so consumed about it that the problem is bigger than the solution. We make a, remember the old phrase, we're making a mountain out of a molehill. We're making the enemy bigger than really what it is. We're blowing up the situation and making it bigger than really what it is. And when it comes down to it, you have the power in your own way through Christ Jesus to accomplish a complete ending. Didn't he say that if you speak to a mountain, if you speak to a situation, it'll change? But it doesn't change because we don't believe it'll change. We go through the motion of just saying it, but we don't really believe that God's word is going to do it. We get in fear, or we worry, or we get so stressed out about a situation because we've been dwelling on it so long and we haven't seen the change yet. See, when you have faith and unbelief simultaneously, you're double-minded. And when you're double-minded, guess what happens? A person is unstable and they cannot receive the things from God because you're double-minded. Oh, Pastor, what do you mean? I was double-minded before I got healed. The healing had already taken place. I just didn't receive it because of my unbelief. I didn't believe that Jesus could come every 6 months and take away that pain that was going to be coming my way. Because I spoke it into existence. I focused so much on being sick, I lost focus on the one who could heal me. Our unbelief. Think about Abraham. Abraham demonstrated single-mindedness. He believed that God could give him a son even in his old age. I mean, he was an old man, and God said, You're gonna have a son. Huh? What? See, overcoming unbelief begins by overcoming fear-based thoughts. I don't know how I'm going to do that. I don't know how that business is. I don't know where the money's going to come from. I'm not. You don't worry and get all stressed out about it. Give it to God. God will put somebody in your pathway. God will show somebody. It will be revealed to somebody that can help you. If we focus on God and His promises, we will believe what He says. Let me say that again. When you focus on His things, His promises, His ways of doing things and not on your situation, things work out better when you're doing it His way. I used to dwell upon being sick all the time, and oh, what am I going to do? And oh, you know, I'm going to leave my family behind. And how did I have a big enough insurance policy for my wife when I die so that she could raise my two kids? I worried about that. I was in fear about that. I was consumed by it. And then I said, wait a minute. The Bible says I can predict how long I want to live. I want to live to at least 110. I want to drive my wife crazy till we're 110 years old, praise the Lord. I'm not going to go early. She ain't going to collect that insurance policy. We're going to go together. She won't need that policy. Why? Because the kids are going to be raised by two parents. And yeah, I'm going to walk them down the aisle, and yes, I'm going to be part of the grandkids' lives, and because I'm speaking that into existence. Didn't say I was going to change their diapers, but I said I would watch them. And my daughter has great faith that I'll change those diapers when she has her little ones. She's telling me she's going to have five. That'll change. We'll get through the first one. There's different ways of unbelief. Sometimes it's ignorance. We're just ignorant. We simply just don't know better. And then unbelief comes into our lives and it seeps in us because we're just ignorant to the Word of God, to the way that God wants us to do things. I was that way for a long time until I got saved and set free. Sometimes it's disbelief. When we're in disbelief, because we've been taught the wrong doctrine, and we're holding on to religious traditions. Let me say that again. Disbelief is when you are taught the wrong doctrine and are holding on to religious traditions. Religion is a killer. Oh, man, I'm going to get love mail on that one. God never endorsed religion. He endorsed relationship. He had a relationship with 12 disciples. He didn't say, hey, we're starting up First Baptist Church and you got to be part of this congregation. He says, no, I want you to get into relationship with me. He didn't start up Spirit Life Christian Church and said that you have to come to this church in order to be saved. it'll be a vehicle where you can get saved and set free and delivered, and your faith level will increase and your unbelief will decrease. But we got to get rid of our wrong doctrine and our religious religious traditions. There was one that I hung on to a long time. I remember someone taught me that God got you sick to teach you a lesson. I believed that for a long time. God got me sick with my pancreas because He wanted to teach me a lesson. That's furthest thing from the truth. But I believed that. I must have been a wrong kid. I did smoke a little of this and I did a little of that. And yeah, I didn't really live I didn't do the right things. And yeah, I'm a sinner. And yeah, I was an altar boy that went a rook. And you know, didn't go to church when I was in college because I knew more than everybody else. And I could see why God got me sick to teach me a lesson. But then someone said, you know, a father, your own father who loves you, would he get you sick? Well, no. Why would he get me sick? He didn't. Would he get you sick because he's trying to teach you a lesson? No. He loves you. He didn't want to get you sick. He didn't want you sick. He wants you whole. So those things that I was taught, the disbelief, took me some time to get out of my system because it was hard for me to understand that Jesus would want to heal me. Because I was taught all the time that He's teaching me a lesson. That's where faith comes. And you start filling yourself with the Word of God and faith, and then you get to start pushing out the old junk that was in your trunk. Amen? Natural unbelief. There's natural unbelief that is present when you're focusing on your five senses that are telling you something. That's why it says, walk by faith and not by sight. Why? Because your senses sometimes get you into unbelief. Well, this is what I've seen. This is what I heard. This is what I tasted. This is what I felt. And those are all facts, but it may not be the truth. Facts change, but the truth always remains the same. The standard of His Word has never changed. He's yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and forevermore shall be. Never changed. What happens is we change. We get that unbelief out of our system. The Bible says about fasting and praying trains our bodies to believe the Word instead of our senses. We fast and pray to get rid of ourselves of unbelief. So maybe you have some unbelief in your system. Maybe you ought to pray a little bit more. Maybe you ought to fast a little bit to get your body in tune and tune up your senses to feel His presence instead of what you smell, taste, and feel and look at. See, unbelief will stop you from your dreams and your blessings of God. Because the Bible says, did it not, that we all start off with the same measure of faith. When you get saved, we all start with the same measure. He didn't give me just a pinch more than He gave somebody else. It may look that way, but He gave us the same measure. The difference is that person you see may be applying their faith and may be taking areas of their lives where they had unbelief and are removing that unbelief out of their life so it looks like their faith level is increasing. I remember when I got diagnosed with this cancer I had in my lungs. I'll never forget. I remember I looked at the doctor and his report, and he's like, well, do you have anything to say about it? I said, God's going to have to fix this one. I didn't start getting in doubt and unbelief because I already won the battle with my pancreas. I already been through the test, so I ain't going to go around that mountain a second time. Because whatever was here in the mass was getting bigger and quicker. I didn't have a lot of time, like 12 years, to go around the mountain. I've dealt with that pancreas for 12 years, like the woman with the issue of blood. I can relate to her 12 years going back and forth to doctors, spending tens of thousands of dollars and not having a pot to pee in at the end because I spent it all that money on health care and couldn't go on to vacations and I had to plan my schedule around being sick because of my unbelief. Faith level was still there, but I had unbelief. So when they told me that, hey, you got this little mass on your lung and you're going to go take some tests and you're going to do this and we're going to hook you all up, I said, hey, I have that measure of faith. I have the measure of faith in healing, but the one thing I didn't have was unbelief. So my faith level seemed stronger. They gave me the report. I said, good, we're all good. Went home, didn't say a word to wife, family, kids. I said, Lord, it's between you and me. Either your word works or it doesn't. I'm not even going to bring up that I have that cancer word. I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to confess it. I'm not going to make it my own. It wasn't yours. It ain't mine. I'm going to stay away from it. I'm not going to be in unbelief. I believe that your word says that by your stripes I were healed. That means it already took place. I didn't want to get the presence of unbelief in my life. There were people that would I know if I said, oh, I have this cancer growth in my lungs, that they would, you know, they would be speaking unbelief. Oh, you're going to die, brother. You know, you're going to have radiation. You'll probably die. And, you know, I had already seen that vision, and the Lord said, say nothing to nobody, but trust in me. Hard thing to do. But I wanted to focus more on his results and promises than what I seen with my natural eyes, what I heard with my natural ears, what the doctor spoke and said, and the appointments I had to take place. I wanted to focus on God's results and speak God's word, the end result. I said to that mountain, I ain't going to have that cancer. I didn't get to where I am and battle 12 years with the pancreas so that I could just die of something else. He didn't call me to the altar to preach the word of God for a short period of time. You said to do it until I have no more breath in my lungs. But my lungs are the part that need to be healed up, Lord. And I got a long way to go. See, we need to focus more on his results and his promises than what we see in the natural eye. The issue is not always the lack of faith, but the presence of unbelief. Unbelief will cancel out your faith and render your prayers ineffective. So many times did my wife and I pray for my pancreas, but my unbelief canceled it out. It's nice, though, when you don't have unbelief and your prayers start stacking up onto your side. It's kind of like you're making a deposit. You have a savings account, and every check you put $25 away. You put $25, and it keeps on adding to your account. But when you have unbelief, it starts to take away from that account. And you're saying, man, I've been putting this money in here for 5 years, and it hasn't grown at all. That's unbelief, taking that deposit and squandering it. But in this case, I said, hey, Lord, I'm going to do it your way. I'm going to believe that I received and focus on what you promised. I didn't allow fear and worry and the cares of the world to get in there in my unbelief and start to get me to doubt, because the devil is the master of deceiving us in our thinking that God doesn't hear our prayer and that his word doesn't work anymore. You need to learn to doubt your doubts and walk in faith. Don't look at your situations that you face in your natural mindset or through your natural eyes, because God is bigger than what you see. He already seen the beginning to the end. And what he started in me, he was going to finish. Use your mountain-moving faith and speak the word of God to your issues that arise in your life, and you will overtake them. Remember that a double-minded person is unstable and cannot receive from God. So don't be double-minded. If God says to go do it, go do it. Don't allow the naysayers to slow you down from what God has placed inside you. Don't be ignorant to the word of God. Spend some time in it every day. Believe it when you pray that you received it. Speak with conviction and the power of his word. There's power in what you speak out of your mouth. Life and death is in the power of what? your tongue. Watch what you're saying. Watch what you're speaking. Oh, this job is killing me. Guess what that job's going to do? It's going to kill you. You got to watch what you say. I mean, I catch myself, my wife will look at me sometimes like, what are you saying? What do you mean we got no money? What do you mean we're broke? Don't use that word. I ain't busted, broke, and disgusted. I got a Heavenly Father that provided me all the riches and wealth. I just got to do is tap in. There's something I must not be doing. See, once again, we don't want to take personal responsibility, but it's something I must not be doing. The formula to baking the cake, if you miss some ingredients, it doesn't taste good. If you don't put enough flour or sugar inside of it, it won't taste right. Well, God has ways of doing things too, and you got to do it His way, not your way. I know that goes against what you want to do, but it's God's way. God's way always wins out. Know who you're connected to. You're a king's kid. You're connected to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We just praised Him this morning. You got to know who you're connected to, who you're associated with. You got to get your mindset right. Let me close with one thought. And then we're going to praise Him. We're going to break every chain of unbelief. Our space next door is being remodeled by someone else. Someone else is moving in, painting the walls, changing it around. And the first thing the devil says, see, told you. I want to get you in unbelief, Pastor. That space wasn't for you, Pastor. That's not yours. Here's what the Lord said. Everything's mine. I'll give to you what I want to give to you when I want to give to you. And it may not be the way you want to. And it may not be, and probably go against popular consensus of man. But I'm God. I didn't get in unbelief that. I said, so what? Someone cleaning up, fixing, I'm glad the landlord has got somebody to rent it. I don't worry about that stuff. Maybe they're only going to stay there for 3 months because they can't afford it, but they repainted the whole place for me. You don't know what God has in store. Maybe they're going to put a daycare in there and they got to go through all the approval process. Maybe God's already doing all the homework for me in advance so they could be connected to their neighbor. I don't know what God's going to do next door. I don't even worry about it. I don't even cast a care upon it. But the first thing the devil wanted to tell me is, see, told you so. God let you down. He wanted to get me in unbelief. I said, devil. My faith level has now increased to a whole nother level now. Because that means something, God's got something bigger in store for me. Maybe that Cox Pavilion just ain't large enough for us. See, we all get stressed out about stuff. I don't concern myself with those things because I can't change that. God will. We had other places that are going to rent this place and they're going to rent it and do this and do that. And God bless them. I don't worry about it. What am I going to do with the extra space when I got all this space because it's not filled yet? Uh-oh. stepping on my toes, Pastor. I don't get in unbelief about that. I know what God's called us to do. I know that the Holy Spirit moves and dwells amongst us in here. Amen. And I believe that God's got some good things in store and planned for us. Amen. And if it's not that space next door, He's got something bigger and better. I think there's already something that's already put together. It's all one unit with multiple toilets. In a thriving area that needs to hear the word. I don't worry about it. Pastor, aren't you worried? He took that space. God bless, and it wasn't mine. I ain't paying rent on it, so it ain't mine. Am I going to get in unbelief and say, oh God, now what do I do, Lord? He says, just stay the course. I put that out there for you. Just go. Maybe this isn't the highest place in the valley where your building is going to be. Because He knows I like the high place. I can see the whole valley from up here. I like that. And at night I get to see the whole city. And He says, that's all your city. But this isn't the highest point. You going to get in unbelief, or are you going to believe God's got something bigger and better in store? I don't know about you, but I'm connected to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I don't worry and sweat the small stuff. Amen? When one door closes, kaboom. Oh, He's going to have a big door open. And that's why He's been planning and purposing us to study the Word. And why we know about, that's why I had a feeling that something like that was going to happen. Because the devil was going to try to surprise me. Ha ha, how do you like that one? Devil, how do you like hell? Do you realize that I'm a child of the Most High God? And what He's got planned for me is so much better. So you can go ahead and, do what you want to do on earth to try to rile things up, but it isn't going to stir me or move me from my King of Kings and my Lord of Lords. I'm not going to get in fear. I'm not going to get in unbelief. I'm not going to get in doubt. I know what I heard from God. I know what my wife heard from God. And we're both in confirming in what God said. And I don't move until He says move. We're not moving next week or anything like that. But it's not by coincidence that God says we're a church on the move. Sometimes you just need to kick you a little bit in the pants. Keep you moving. Just a little love tap from behind. I love when my wife gives me a love tap. Just kidding now. What I want to do this morning, almost lost focus, thinking about that, praise the Lord Jesus. He's got such great things in store for us, but we can't allow unbelief or the presence of unbelief to get in. So this morning, we're going to have our praise team and worship team come up, and we're going to close in a song. And I want you to think about the words that you're singing. Because as we're breaking the chains that hold us back, it's going to break the chains of unbelief. It's going to break those things that have held you back. So this morning, when you sing, sing like you mean it. Sing like it comes from your heart. Sing like you're excited about what God's about to do. Because God is not through with us. God is just molding and preparing and transforming us for something even greater than what we can even anticipate. I can't wait to see what platform God's going to put us on. Amen? What eyes are going to see us so that that they'll see the glory of God in us? So we're going to praise Him this morning with that song. And then we'll just leave the altar open for you who want to come up.